Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to The Gold Derby Show on the Gold Derby Podcast Network. Welcome back to Gold Derby. I'm Christopher Rosen, joined by Joy Singh. Joyce, what a week. The Succession screeners came in this week.
They did. And you haven't watched them yet, but I
haven't watched them yet.
I mean, I already had a head start on you because I saw two of them last week, but yeah, I finished them. And of course, we're talking about Succession on an Oscar.
So great way to start the Oscar podcast, but no, Succession comes back in a couple of weeks. I'm so excited to start, but no, really, Joyce, we're talking Oscar stuff again, obviously. And the big thing this week, I think I would say, was the Licorice Pizza trailer, Paul Thomas Anderson's new movie, now called Licorice Pizza. It had been called, or at least rumored to be called, Soggy Bottom. I came out this week. It looks like a lot of fun, I think. And it looked like a tremendous Bradley Cooper just supporting, scene-stealing supporting performance. That was my big takeaway from the trailer.
And then you did something right after you watched it. What did you do? Tell everyone. Tell the class.
What did I do? I don't actually remember. Oh, I moved him to number one in my picks. I just shot him right up. I was like, you know why? Because I'll tell you what. I had him nominated even before the trailer. But I was like, not sure he was in it that much because he's like, playing a guy who I assumed was inspired by John Peters, but apparently it's the actual John Peters, who is Barbra Streisand's boyfriend, a producer, I think the basis of Shampoo, the movie with Warren Beatty, just a real Hollywood guy and producer on the original Star Is Born, so much so that they had to have him listed as a producer in the Star Is Born that Bradley Cooper made.
A scandal with his credit on that.
Correct. Also, like, it was like a bad time because he was also alleged. There was some Me Too allegations, maybe. And, yeah. You know, so not the greatest. And Bradley Cooper had to say, oh, no, he didn't have any involvement in the movie, blah, blah, blah. But now Bradley Cooper is playing John Peters. And I was like, wouldn't it be fun if Bradley Cooper wins an Oscar for playing John Peters, who produced the original Star, or the Barbra Streisand Star Is Born, and not for A Star Is Born, where he should have won. I still maintain Best Actor over Rami Malek. I'll never forgive that and never forget that. But no, I have Bradley Cooper now winning.
You and so many people.
I got him winning here. He just looks great. The trailer, he's so much fun in the trailer. It looks like him bringing very much a David O. Russell energy to the movie. And his performances in those David O. Russell movies really were like very close to, I think, wins in a couple of spots, you know, like Silver Linings Playbook. He was great. American Hustle, I think he was a lot of fun. I don't know. I could just see him winning for this. Stop me here and tell me why I'm a lunatic.
I mean, I don't think you are. I think both supporting categories are very open. There's no like really obvious front runner in either of them, like there is in the lead categories. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you told me that, I had to be like, do I even have him in? And I checked and I did have him in five. I haven't changed it at all. So I still have him in fifth. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not ready to say, I mean, obviously we haven't seen anything.
Right.
So I'm not ready to say like, he's definitely winning, because I could also see this just being kind of like a glorified like cameo. Like I could see like, you know, the movie just being like the two leads. Yeah. And then like everyone, like Sean Penn and everyone else, like these big name stars, just having like kind of like soft supporting roles, you know.
Well, that was I kind of think that could be true. And even with switching Bradley Cooper in based on like two scenes in the trailer, it does feel like he possibly is not in it very much, because if you remember, like when they were shooting that movie last year, like the scenes of him, like the paparazzi shots of them, like shooting were of the scenes that are in the movie and in the trailer, excuse me. You know what I mean? Like there was nothing else of Bradley Cooper. So, I mean, they could have done like interior stuff with him, obviously, or whatever, but like a large, like all of the stuff where they were spotting him on set was in like what we see in the trailer. So I was like, it's possible. And it looks like even in the trailer, he's in the same outfit in the two different scenes. It's possible that he's like, who knows what happens in the movie. It is like a love story between a young boy played by Philip Seymour Hoffman's son, Cooper Hoffman, and a young woman played by Alana Haim from the band. And you know, maybe he's in it for like one day, you know, who knows? So, but like in the trailer, it is a lot of fun for him. The rest of the movie looked incredibly my jam and made me think, like we discussed.
Did you also grow up in 1970s San Fernando Valley?
No, but I did love like Dazed and Confused and Almost Famous. And like,
that's it reminded me very much of Dazed and Confused.
That's what it looks like. Like Almost Famous. I think I read somebody said on Twitter and I forget who was like, oh, Paul Thomas Anderson really loved Lady Bird, which I could definitely see. And he was like, wanted to do like his own kind of kids coming of age thing like that. That leads me to believe that this movie is going to be awesome because Lady Bird rules and all those other movies rule. And yet it made me even think more that, like we had said previously, I'm not convinced that it's like a slam dunk winner for him in director or screenwriting based on, despite the enthusiasm for the trailer. And obviously, like we said, like the PTA stands really being excited for this movie. It just feels like if he didn't win for The Master or There Will Be Blood or Phantom Thread, which are ostensibly like serious minded Oscar bait, then he's not going to win for like the more lighthearted coming of age movie. That was my thought.
Yeah. I can see this like doing like moderately well in terms of awards, like maybe like a Lady Bird esque situation. But I could also see it just like not going anywhere, but just kind of like not being responded to in the way that his stands want it to be.
Right.
You know,
yeah, it's weird. It's like, it's definitely to me, I was like, oh, and as a fan of Paul Thomas Anderson, like this is an opinion that always gets me like just murdered. But I was like, it reminds me of, I like Radiohead, the band, but I like the early days of Radiohead. So I like their first album. I love the Bends. I love OK Computer. And then the later albums, which are way more artistic and critically acclaimed. I'm like, they're good. I don't dislike them, but I prefer like the big mainstream rock, like early albums. And with Paul Thomas Anderson, it's honestly a lot of the same thing. I love Boogie Nights. Obviously I love Magnolia. I love Punch Drunk Love. I really love There Will Be Blood. And then the later ones like Master and Phantom Thread are good. Definitely enjoyed them, but like, I don't love them like I love the early ones. And this feels like a return to his earlier stuff, right? Like, mm-hmm. I definitely think the trailer is like leaning hard on like, hey, did you like Boogie Nights? And you'll definitely like this.
I mean, like Cooper looks like his dad in Boogie Nights.
It's like uncanny almost in a couple of shots. And yet those movies did not get the Academy Awards response. I think that like, you know, maybe you would have expected. And I remember, and I know for Magnolia, he was incredibly disappointed, I think, in that it didn't get like mass response, right? Like when they were like, I know just for based on the trailer, I think I'm really going to like it, but I don't know if it'll be an Oscar play. I still have it in as best picture. And I think I still have him in as best director.
Do I have him in director?
I took him out. I don't have him in director.
I don't know if I have him in either. Let me see.
I have him in screenwriting for original. But I don't have him
winning. I think I have him winning screenplay.
I have Belfast winning. I just feel like Belfast, if it's going to win Best Picture, I have it up there for now. And I have it in picture, but
yeah. Apparently I do have him in director. I don't know. I don't know if, because I feel like in director, I feel like there are like kind of four spots maybe like right now we think like are really solid. And then there's kind of like a semi-open fifth. And right. I don't know. Like I don't think he's one of those four that are like sort of locks basically.
Right. I mean, like, it's like, oh, like I was just looking at this the other day. I mean, he's gotten like 8 nominations, I believe. Right. Like,
no wins.
And like a lot of those nominations have, like we said, have come for like those very ostensibly serious, like There Will Be Blood was like a tremendous, like, this is an Oscar movie. Right. And like, Phantom Thread, same kind of thing. Like, this is a serious, even though Phantom Thread is actually very darkly funny, I think if you're watching it on face value, you're like, this is a serious movie, right? Like, or you could. And I just think like, you look at this and I'm like, I don't know. I just don't, I'm like Bradley Cooper doing a bit, Sean Penn seemingly doing a bit, Maya Rudolph's in the trailer. It definitely is like, this is a more fun movie, like an outwardly fun movie. Not even like one you have to be like, oh, Phantom Thread. There's a lot of clever dark comedy in that.
Yeah. And I think with him, it's just like, you know, like his early career, it's just like, he's like starting out. So I think it's kind of like the same thing. It's like, oh, he hasn't won yet, but like, that's fine. Cause like, it's just like his like first couple movies, you know, and now he still hasn't won yet. So people just want him to win something.
Right. I mean, yeah. I would love for him to win.
Yeah. Like that would be great. But I think that's also part of it. And I think like Licorice Pizza is, I think, third in the odds, right?
For best picture? Overall, well, I'm looking at the expert odds.
Is it third?
In the expert odds, it's sixth right now.
Okay. But I think in overall, it's third.
I think so. And I think that's, again, and I would not be like, I think if he's going to win and if the movie's going to make a big impact, depending on like how big Cooper's part is, I think his screenplay would be like this spot, because like, he was nominated for Boogie Nights, he was nominated for Magnolia. It's like, he's definitely thought of as like a great screenwriter. It looks like the kind of clever thing, you know, and maybe you think original screenplay is going to be like the cool movie. I think Lady Bird would have won that year, except it was up against Get Out, which was a cooler movie. Mm-hmm. So then Jordan Peele won. You can't argue either of those as a winner, I don't think. And like, it's like, okay, like that feels like a spot where he could win. The only reason he wouldn't win there is because like, who knows, whatever other movies come up. But if like Belfast is like a huge best picture juggernaut, then I feel like it would win original screenplay because it just would, but who knows? So that's a good spot for him. I definitely have him getting nominated there. I would remain having him nominated there. Director and picture, I think, are less set, but maybe with 10 nominees, who knows? Maybe picture is set too. I don't know.
Yeah. I think like the 10 slots like help it make it in there. Like, and I don't think like Belfast needs to win screenplay to win best picture. I mean, like Nomadland didn't, you know?
Right. That's so true. And we all thought it was going to win, or at least I did.
Oh, you predicted Nomadland. Oh, I had The Father.
Right now, according to the experts, Licorice Pizza would win, though Belfast is it's coming up strong, right behind it. So,
yeah. And I don't think like the category is like, you know, that loaded this year. It's not like a Lady Bird versus Get Out situation. I mean,
no, if you look right now, the nominees are Licorice, or the, according to experts, Licorice Pizza, Belfast, Don't Look Up, which is the
Don't Look Up, man. Should we talk about that like sneak peek from Tudum?
Yeah, I'd actually like to. Don't Look Up clip for Adam McKay. Mass, which would actually be really cool, for Fran Kranz. And actually, we could talk about that too, because I had moved Anne Dowd out and then just was like, why did I do that? And I put her back in. And I have actually, we'll come back to Mass, put a pin in Mass. And then King Richard fifth. I actually think King Richard is, I haven't getting nominated. I think it will. And I could see that making a big case to win too, because it's like, again, like a blacklist screenplay that like, I think does a really good job. And the movie I think is going to be well-liked. The other possibilities there are Come On, Come On, A Hero, French Dispatch, Last Night in Soho, Being the Ricardos. So it's like not the strongest, deepest category. That leads me to believe that like, you're right. Like it could ease. I mean, it should get nominated unless the movie is just a total, a washout, which I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. The adapted screenplay category is much more tricky, I would say. There's a lot of these movies this year are kind of adapted screenplays, including something like Coda, which maybe you'd be like, oh, that's an original movie, but it's actually a remake. So it's an adapted screenplay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Other stuff I saw, like Alana, I want to say, is it Haim or Haim? What would you say?
Haim,
the Haim sisters.
Yeah.
So Alana Haim is a lead actress contender, or at least would be in lead. And Cooper Hoffman, I assume, would be a lead actor contender because it looks like
I know, but he's too young. He's only 18. Like they hate young men.
Yeah. But good. Looks really good. And like we said, the trailer looks great. So back to Mass, and actually in this, I kind of wanted to talk about this and then we could talk about Tragedy Macbeth, because they kind of went together for me. So Tragedy Macbeth was at New York Film Festival last week. I didn't end up going to the screening, so I still haven't seen it. If you're watching and you were like, Chris, you said you were going to go.
You're just a liar.
I was a total liar. So I didn't go. But all the reviews basically kind of confirmed what I had expected. I don't know about you, but like they are just like, it's Macbeth. It's an adaptation of Macbeth. Macbeth is a great production. And Denzel Washington is amazing in it. And Frances McDormand is great. And maybe she's a supporting actress or a lead actress, depending on what they decide to do. And the movie itself is good. That seemed to be like the consensus, right? Like pretty much.
Yeah.
So going in, I was like, oh, Corey Hawkins plays Macduff. And I had heard like whispers of him being like the best part and blah, blah. And he got really good reviews, but none of them really exploded off the screen for me. So I was like, maybe he's not as much of a guaranteed nominee as I had expected. And that was why I was like, you know what? At this point, I love Jason Isaacs and Mass. I'm going to put him in. So I put him in instead of Corey Hawkins. That was my other supporting actor move of the week. He's so good in Mass. Have you gotten to see it yet or no?
I have not seen it yet, but you know who did get raves for Macbeth? Catherine Hunter.
So she could be another possibility in supporting actress. And again, that category is not really loaded either. No. So that could be an easy...
Yeah, like both supporting categories are very open.
So the only question I'd have there is then does Frances go lead and then Catherine Hunter goes supporting? And then does Frances actually get in for Macbeth? Based on the reviews, I'm not sure. Again, I haven't seen it.
Get into lead for Macbeth?
Yeah. I mean, like I could see her easily getting in. I think I
can see her getting in. I mean, yeah, lead is a little bit more crowded, but it's like, she's just been on a roll like the last like 4 years. And, you know, obviously she just won her third right. Oscar for best actress. So I can see her getting in just because she's like Frances McDormand, and obviously she's great. Like we all expected her to be. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, she did like characterize the role as like supporting, and really like when you read the play, like Lady Macbeth is like kind of supporting. It's like borderline, you know,
it's borderline.
So, yeah. Yeah. So I guess she could go in either category, but if they want to be strategic, then they would put her in lead and Catherine in supporting.
Right.
And then I think she probably will be lead. And I mean, if she does get in, I don't think she'll win, even though she's never lost in lead. So she's only lost her supporting nominations. Yeah. So I don't know. And I feel like I wasn't, like you said, like, I don't think we were surprised at all by the reactions to the film, but I'm just kind of wondering like how it's going to play just to like the general public. Cause it's like, you know, we haven't had like a high profile, like Shakespeare adaptation for a while.
Right.
So, and it's black and white. So,
yeah, I mean, it's funny. A lot of these this year, I feel like are theatrical movies that I wonder how they'll play like at home, you know what I mean? Like, it's funny. Yeah. Like last year we had like that same thing, but everything was at home, obviously. And then honestly, all the movies were fine. I don't feel like I think Nomadland in a big screen would have been like really cool because of like the way it's shot, but the way it moves and the way it just played very well at home. Right. I saw it on my computer and on my TV. Like I never watched in the theater and it was great. I really liked it. Same with like Chicago 7 and Mank. I feel like were really good. And Minari, you know, all those contenders were like, you did not need to like be in a theater, but I feel like Macbeth, I agree with you. I always go back to the fact with like, not only are you watching it on TV, but when are you watching it? Because like when I watch movies, especially like a black and white movie, again, I'm just speaking for myself. Maybe you're going to be like, this is so silly. But I'm like, if it's like too light outside or the light, it's like, you don't get the same experience. It's lights are shining off the screen sometimes, or it just doesn't look right. And it's like, unless you're really watching in like a really darkened room, which maybe is not even possible where you live.
You just have to turn off all the lights and close the door.
You'd have to do all that. And maybe you can or whatever. I don't know. I'm just like, who knows? So maybe that's an issue with Macbeth, as it's going to be in theaters on Christmas and then on Apple in a few weeks later. And then I'm sure they'll get people out for like Academy screenings and stuff, but a lot of people will experience that movie at home and whatever. But so I think it's interesting too, with Frances as maybe a leader supporting, and then you have like Katrina Balfe is like leader support. There's still a lot of fluctuations to come, I feel like, in a lot of these categories with top contenders. So like, we'll see. The other Macbeth thing, I think, was Denzel Washington, who has gotten amazing reviews and is Denzel Washington. And is it going to be like, you know, last year when we were going through Best Actress and we had like all these contenders and we kept talking about it. And then Frances won, because it's like, of course Frances won. She's already won 2 Oscars and like, she's awesome in this movie. Why would she not win again? Is that going to happen here with Denzel, where we're just like, of course Denzel's going to win? Like, if Denzel wins for playing Macbeth, would it be just like, no kidding, he won? I don't know. I still have Will Smith, but I definitely have Denzel as a strong runner up. And I would not be surprised if, as we go 6 months forward, if he ends up being like an obvious winner. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, like we talked about this last week, and I think also in our column as well, like Denzel can beat Will again.
Really good.
20 years later, while Will is fronting another like sports movie.
Unreal.
Playing a real life person. Yeah, I still have Will in first. I feel like Will can like win SAG easily just because that would just be so much more appealing to the SAG voting base. Yeah. SAG after voting days, than something like Macbeth, even though, you know, a lot of actors are, you know, come up through theater and do Shakespeare. But I think it, like King Richard just has like a more populist appeal for that group. Yeah, for the Oscars, I don't know. Cause like, I feel like Denzel and like Benedict Cumberbatch could attract like the highbrow voters, you know, and like that appeal. So
It's true. I mean, and
like he, you know, he feels like overdue for a third Oscar. And he came close 5 years ago with Fences, like ostensibly close because he won SAG and then so many people switched to him. But I stuck with Casey just because he swept entire season.
Yes, I'm not
changing that because of like one award.
I wonder if the race, I can think I could see it mirroring a little, and it depends. We'll see. Like, cause I think I say this saying that, like, again, haven't seen Macbeth, but the reviews have been like, wow, this is like the best Denzel. Like I've seen like some of the reviews were like, this is the best he's ever been, which is like high praise and maybe super hyperbole and recency bias, but still it's like, if it's even in the conversation to be the best he's ever been, I mean, it's Denzel Washington. He's like the greatest actor of the last, like one of at least in the, like top three greatest actors last like 40 years. So like, that's pretty impressive, but it reminds me a little of like Viola and Meryl from Iron Lady.
When
Meryl
won her and third.
And The Help, because I'll tell you why, because it's like The Help is obviously was the bigger movie, like populist pick, and Viola was the lead, but ostensibly like you could argue she's not. And then you have like Meryl doing like Meryl stuff and like a historical thing and like whatever. And I'm like, obviously Macbeth is not historical, but it is. I was just thinking like, oh, and I think I mentioned this in our column. If you want to ding King Richard or Will, you could say like, it's not, even though he's the title character, the movie is not necessarily about him as much as it is the whole family. And like in the last act, just by necessity, he's not in it as much because like there's a tennis match and they're showing him and like he's like a participant as like a spectator. But it's not like he's not driving the action in those last moments. And, you know, I don't know. I guess I could make the argument that like that makes him like less of a, you know, like Denzel's the whole thing. He's Macbeth, right? So it's like he's gonna be in the whole thing. Who knows? But I think that's a great, I'm already excited about that because I like love both of them. And I think it's going to be really, really fun. And I hope it's one of them. I hope one of them wins. I think in either case, it would be a great winner because you'd have Denzel getting a third Oscar, second best actor Oscar, or Will getting his first. I don't know. I think it's just fun. I'm excited for that already.
I think like, you know, obviously he's just the coach, so he's not in the match, but that's not like, I haven't seen it yet, but that's not the final scene. That's just like the climactic scene. Right. So like, I've always felt like for a movie, you need to have like a really like a memorable, like opening and then like a really memorable, like ending. Cause that's what people remember.
And so then King Richard absolutely has that. Cause the opening is like an amazing, like Will, like super charm offensive, like you're in on the character right away. And then the closing has like a really touching stuff with him and the daughter. So with Venus. So yeah, I still have Will winning. Like I think he's going to win, but I just wonder if it's going to be like a thing where we're just like, of course Denzel is pulled ahead here and he wins. Like,
No one would be surprised if he ends up winning.
There. Yeah.
So,
and I will say like Will's already in, like we said, he didn't go to Telluride and like, kind of like that was like maybe a shrewd move, or we'd see, because like they're like the movie allowed the movie to exist on its own feet, and like you didn't have like added stuff, and like people like maybe were caught by surprise and like enjoyed it. Now maybe that's not really going to happen because there's been people like me saying it's actually good, but you know,
that's good for it because then it's still like a real reaction.
True, that's true. And then Will had a GQ cover story this week where he was talking about his life and career, and it already made like
he talks about Denzel. He calls Denzel for advice.
So it's like he's already in on the game, I think, and like it reminded me a little of like when Brad Pitt was doing stuff at this time for like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Remember he did like an EW interview, I think, and like a Times profile, like all like right around now. So,
but you know what Brad didn't do? He was not releasing a memoir at the same time, which Will is doing. His book is coming out in November.
So yeah. So good stuff for Will. I'm sure we'll talk about this. Now, Joyce, you mentioned the Tudum, Netflix's big
worldwide. Did you watch Tudum on Saturday? Did you spend your Saturday doing that? Cause I did not.
I did not, no, but I looked at this stuff after and I was like, oh, look, they're bringing Extraction back for another go around with the classic Drake character lives, Tyler
Wayne. Even though he was shot in the neck.
Clearly died. And then it ended like with like an Inception style ending. And then they brought him back. But I watched the Stranger Things clip. I saw The Crown is coming back in 2022. And I watched that Imelda Staunton video where she's got like Claire Foy and Olivia Colman like over her shoulders.
She's like manifesting the Emmy win for season 6.
So I'm like way in. And then they had a clip from Don't Look Up with Jennifer Lawrence, Leo, Meryl Streep, Rob Morgan, and Jonah Hill in the White House with Meryl. First look at Meryl as President Meryl with Jonah Hill as Jared Kushner, basically. And the clip itself, I'll just go first. I was like, I couldn't tell. There's like a music bed underneath it. Did you watch this? So,
and yes, I watched
like,
it.
I couldn't tell if that was in, was that, did they just pull the scene out with the music, or was it like, just like, did somebody throw that music bed underneath it to like make it feel more like a trailer or a teaser? I kind of felt like the latter because it just, the way it was like, the music was just so, it just felt like it was not working with the scene. I don't know what it's like in the movie. And then, yeah, it's very, it felt very improv-y and very, comic in a way that I was like, I don't know if that's I don't know.
It was an Adam McKay film.
It was an Adam McKay film, but more like, it felt more like a comedy Adam McKay film than maybe like even Vice or Big Short did, just based on like the bits. You had like Jennifer Lawrence and Jonah Hill were doing like, kind of like rat-tat-tat jokey stuff.
Yeah. And a lot of weird jokes like tampons and yeah.
Yeah.
So like so many people were dragging it because of the music, like you said, and the editing, which was like, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody-esque, Oscar winning editing winner, Bohemian Rhapsody. So my take on it is that like, that's not like the final cut. Like that's not what's going to be in the movie. I think they just, sure, like cull that together, like clip, like scene, just to set up the plot of the film, just precisely for Tudum, because they were like, hey, Adam, like Netflix was like, we need something for Tudum on September 25th. And they just like cobbled something together and they like cut out, cause there was a lot of editing and yeah, like his movies are very edited, you know, like Vice was, but also more like artistically than this clip was. So I think they cut some stuff out and just to like condense it into like a 2-minute clip to set up the plot so people know what's happening. And I think that was just temp music because Bertel is scoring this movie.
Exactly.
I trust him.
And Bertel scores for the Adam McKay stuff rule. The Vice score is so good. I'm a fan of Vice. I really was. I know that people did not like it at all. But no, I was weighing on, I thought the score was awesome. And like, I thought that movie was, I really thought that was a good movie. So I am like excited for Don't Look Up. I will say that like, you're right. Like it gives you a sense of the plot. And it's very timely, I would say, to it, like almost uncomfortable, like full Meryl as President Trump, kind of like ignoring the catastrophic effects of in this case, a asteroid hurtling toward Earth, or in real life, maybe the coronavirus. So I don't know. I think people are going to really, I could see people liking it. Like, it's definitely going to be polarizing though, because I think
all of his films are polarizing.
Yeah. But if you're, and especially I think in this one, if you're on the right side of the political spectrum, maybe you're going to be a little offended by Meryl like being like a somewhat MAGA-esque.
So do you have any like don't look up people?
Like I don't. And I'll tell you why. Not because of that clip, just because I wasn't convinced that anybody, it's got an incredibly packed cast. And I was not convinced that anybody's actually in it very much, except for Jennifer Lawrence and Leo. And I think Best Actor is really crowded already, even with like, and I feel like the five that we've talked about are like very strong. And then you'd have, so that would be Will and Denzel and Benedict. And then I have Peter Dinklage and Andrew Garfield as the other two. But I think you could say like Joaquin Phoenix is an option. I'm not sure Leo would be like, I still think he'd be like seventh or eighth. And then Jennifer Lawrence's Best Actress would be kind of like the same thing. It just feels like there's not a lot of room. So I don't have anybody else in, but I have the movie in for Best Picture and I have a Best Screenplay nomination at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I still have Leo in because I just like put him in there a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
And I could, it would just be like, I don't think he's going to win, but it could just be like a filler nomination for him. Kind of like what like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was, you know, like you knew he was not winning that.
Right.
And I can see the movie, like the movie will be seen just because you have people like Ariana Grande and like Timothée Chalamet in it, you know, and it's on Netflix and, you know, Leo and J-Law are still huge. So, so I have him in and I think I still have Meryl in just cause I needed to fill out the category.
I mean, it's Meryl. Like, I think, I forget who was saying this in one of our off camera chats, but it's like, you can't count Meryl out. Like anything she does, you would have to at least argue as a possibility for a nomination. But I wonder if this will be more like Laundromat Meryl than like getting a nomination Meryl.
Yeah. Well, like the Laundromat also bombed. So I don't know.
It did. And it had a similar starry cast, right? Like I kind of feel like it's in the same, another movie I really liked, The Laundromat. But I guess I'm again the only one who maybe like this. I like these strange movies. I don't know. I don't know. I could see, I guess with Leo, I could definitely see him getting in. Though I just don't think, I don't have him in. But I'm like,
I don't have J-Law in.
I would say like the thing that's interesting about Leo is that this does look like, I always think he's such an incredibly, I always find him so fascinating as an actor because I think he does something a little different in every movie. And I've never seen him do like this kind of stuff where he's like the nebbishy comic guy. What's that?
He needs to do more comedy.
He's very funny. And I mean, like Wolf of Wall Street, I think is a full out comedy and he's so funny and awesome in it. And I think and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is really funny and he's like very funny in it, but those are different kind of, it just feels like different kind of comedy than what he would be doing in that and Don't Look Up. And that him playing like a guy who's just like a stammering, nervous kind of Nelly who needs Jennifer Lawrence to be like definitely a helper, I think. And like kind of like the more straight talker based on the clip.
She's the voice of reason there.
Right. He's like the science nerd and she's like the person who could talk to everyday people. I think that has a really good potential for him. And I'm very excited to see how that plays out. But it's hard to judge on like the one thing. This clip doesn't work as well. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah. But I'm just like, I'm not putting too much stock in that clip. Cause I believe this was clearly just made for that event.
It also seems like the other major character and another potential nominee would be Rob Morgan in supporting. I think he's like the third lead basically. Like he's like the government official who goes with them, I think, around to try to convince people they should pay attention to this catastrophic asteroid heading towards Earth. Rob Morgan got great reviews for Just Mercy. I feel like people were talking him up for a nomination, but that movie really just washed out. And I don't know. I could see if the movie's great. And like we said, like a lot of these categories are just wide open, especially supporting, maybe there's a play for him too. I don't know.
You know what also was released last week that it wasn't a trailer, but it was a date and a photo, The Tender Bar with our favorite Ben Affleck.
Big Ben. Cannot wait. So George Clooney's Tender Bar coming to Amazon later this year. Feels like a legendary Ben Affleck best supporting actor run here could be.
I mean, he's also in supporting or in contention supporting for The Last Duel.
Correct. I'd be excited for Tender Bar. I'm like lukewarm on George Clooney as a filmmaker, but I feel like George Clooney with Ben Affleck has obviously yielded strong results with like Argo. So, you know, never know. Even though Ben didn't direct this, obviously George Clooney did. We'll see. I don't know much about it.
George is also like overdue for an Oscar comeback.
He is.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, yeah, he produced Argo. So that was his last big one, but that was obviously like Ben's movie really. And like, George did like no promo for that at all. Like he just showed up to the Oscars.
No, his big play. They really tried to make Midnight Sky happen. I feel like last year.
Yeah, that was last year. And then, yeah. So he hasn't, remember when he was just collecting acting nominations, like every 2 years in like the late 2000s. So like that stopped. And he's directed a few movies, including Midnight Sky, that haven't gone anywhere awards wise. So I don't know. I don't really have any expectations for this. So
I haven't really heard anything about it beyond the photo and I knew they were filming it because they started filming it during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm like, I know it's based on a book obviously too. And like, it's a good premise. And Ben Affleck plays like the uncle, the bar owning
like the mentor guy. Yeah.
Sort of like the lead character. I think is Ty Sheridan. Is that right? I think that's who plays.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm like, that has like that goes with what we talked about in there, maybe our first one of these or maybe in a column. You very star-studded award season because we didn't even mention George Clooney and Ben Affleck. I don't think we mentioned Ben with like Last Duel, but yeah, throw Clooney in there. I'm like, this is great. I'm way in on this. So we had all that stuff. The other thing I wanted to just bring up was Best Actress. I moved Jessica Chastain to the top after we spoke last time.
Wow.
Just because, again, like if you think about like the transformational thing and like the narrative that she's due, that all feels like very relevant. But I still think Olivia Colman in Lost Daughter is a real threat. That screens at New York Film Festival, I believe, this week. So it'll be another round of like, this movie is good or Olivia Colman's amazing kind of buzz coming through. I'm very excited for Olivia Colman. That's all. I just love her in it. And I think she could be.
She has not missed.
She doesn't miss.
Yeah. She just does not miss. I don't know like if she'll win or not, but I have her getting in. I still have Kristen in first, but I'm not like set on that at all. I think it's just kind of like a default, like placeholder number one. So I don't know, but that category is also kind of stacked. You know, we talked about Frances already and Jessica. I don't know. It's funny when you were saying before about like King Richard and how like Will is not in the climactic scene of the movie. And I was thinking of Zero Dark 30 because like, you know, Jessica's character is not part of the attack on Bin Laden, you know, like she's just like staying behind and watching it all unfold. So, but you know, her final shot, like that was very memorable with like the tear and everything.
So good. She was so good in that.
But you know, another one who's due for an Oscar comeback.
Truly. We didn't even talk about the other stuff. Let's see. I will say like, I'm like, I just to double back on Best Actor. I'm looking here at the experts. Bradley Cooper is still like locked in according to the experts. For Nightmare
Alley. So I have him getting in both, which I don't even know that feels right and wrong. But then if he loses both, he'll be 0-10.
I don't know. I felt like he should have won. Like I had him winning. I'm trying to look at. I had him winning for Star Is Born. I felt like that was like his big win.
I mean, I think we all like early on, like this time. Well, Star Is Born came out in October. So like, yeah, in like October 2018, I think we all felt like he could actually win Best Actor for this. Because like, he was not going to win director. And then he ended up not even getting nominated for director, but actor that year was not incredibly strong. So it's like, this could be like his win finally. And then A Star Is Born basically like flopped when it came to like the major awards, like, it, you know, bombed at the Globes when we all thought it was going to sweep. And yeah,
I still don't understand how that happened. I just can't. It's so good. He's so good.
I don't know. So I don't know what I would have given in it for him for outside of that. But then it became so clear that he just wasn't winning, you know?
I feel like a lot of the years he was nominated, he was like definitely like the...
Like the he wasn't winning for Silver Linings because that was DDL.
Right. I feel like a lot of those, he was like the alternate, right? Like if you look, like it's like, so DDL instead of for Lincoln, instead of Silver Linings, that makes sense. Who was he up against for American Sniper? Do you remember? Was that,
that was Eddie Redmayne. But his nomination was also like shocking because, you know, Sniper came out of nowhere and he knocked out Jake Gyllenhaal.
Correct. So, American Hustle supporting actor in 2014.
And then like Jared Leto was sweeping that season. So it was like, forget it.
So it's like a lot of these are just like very much the runner up spot. I feel like every one of those, you can make like an argument that like he would have been like the second choice. And he was presumably the second choice for, to Rami Malek, perhaps.
Was he though?
I hope so.
Was he? Like we like to think he was, but was he?
Who else was nominated that year? Help me out.
That year, it was Viggo. I mean,
yeah, I'm looking right now. Is Viggo, Christian Bale and Vice,
yeah,
and Willem Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate.
I mean, like, I could see like
Viggo,
Christian and Viggo being.
Yeah, I think Viggo probably was like maybe a runner off. So big week for Bradley Cooper either way. That seems fine. Anything else, Joyce, before we wrap up here?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Coming up, we've got the new James Bond movie comes out next week.
So right. Like 17 years later.
Very long time later. Yeah. The final time for Daniel Craig. I think maybe a good, maybe perhaps below the line contender. A lot of really talented.
We can talk about Billie Eilish getting into original song next week. A song that's been out for like almost 2 years. I still haven't heard and has already won a Grammy for the movie that has not come out yet.
Now it's going to be there. And best original song contender, Billie Eilish versus Beyonce, maybe, and others for that's a good lineup already.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got that. And then the Last Duel coming. So October is going to be fun. New York Film Festival is still going on. Like I said, Lost Daughter, I think Power of the Dog is actually going to be there. I think I said it wasn't, but I think it actually is. Mm-hmm. So that was a mistake in the corrections part. Emil, I'll watch Succession. I'll watch the screeners. So maybe we could like tease.
Okay. Yeah. Next week we can talk about it because the embargo is up on Monday.
So I'll tease that too. All right. Joy, see you later. Bye.
Bye.
This is the Gold Derby Show on the Gold Derby Podcast Network.